Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. He says, "Stand fast under the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is..." I got to look at this one. I can't read that. "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." Next slide. "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." And I'm going to come with this thought this morning, something we all are familiar with, and that's this thought: in God we trust. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to, Lord, to worship you and to praise you. And I thank you, O God, that you are in this place. Father, I honor you and I praise you and I thank you. And I can't thank you enough, Lord, for the Spirit of God that we have felt here and sensed here. Knowing, God, that you are moving amongst us and that you are here to touch us. Not only to touch and lift us up and to heal us, Lord God, but to touch our spirits, our minds, Lord God, and our ears to receive what you have today. Father, I pray, anoint this time together. Anoint my lips and my thoughts and actions, that I may bring what thus saith the Lord God. And to you we give all the glory and honor in Jesus' holy name. Amen. And amen. Amen. Thank you. I checked that one this morning. It was working. I thought, oh, okay, it's working. So, oh, well. One more verse I want to just throw in here this morning, too, and that is 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, "Now the Lord is a Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." You know that one. And we just thank the Lord that we have liberty in Christ. Some things we got to understand, though, in America today, and a lot of us would agree that the America that we live in is not the America that we grew up in. That the America that we are facing over the last year and a half, 2 years, has drastically changed, and it's not due to COVID. We're seeing things take place that we never thought we would see before. Yes, we would see people burn the American flag from time to time, but it seems like burning the American flag and burning patriotic things and tearing down statues of our forefathers is become more of a norm than an exception. And we're seeing things that we have never seen before. And in America today, there's even a turning away from not only the Pledge of Allegiance, but a turning away from the patriotic songs. People don't even sing the songs of America like they used to. And the reason is because it mentions America, but also it mentions God. You know, God bless America. You know, that's a rarity anymore because people are afraid to say God. But when you look at a lot of our American songs and the folk songs, whatever you want to call them, most of them mention God. We look at the Star Spangled Banner. It talks about God. America, the song America mentions God. The Battle Hymn of the Republic mentions God. America the Beautiful mentions God. And I just mentioned also God Bless America. I mean, when you think about America, you can't help think about God, because we understand that America was founded upon godly principles. We also know that many people in Washington, even some that sit in Congress, don't want God in America, let alone American values in America. Many people have in these special interest groups, and we've seen for years, but it's becoming more and more of a, I want to call it epidemic, where people are tearing down anything that mentions God off the walls of our institutions. Years ago, the Ten Commandments were being torn down, but anything that references God or anything that represents American pride is being torn down. And so we're seeing our country being destroyed from within. And we're wondering why we sit here today in 2021 and we go, what has happened to our America? Well, we can say a lot has happened. But let's go back for a second before we move forward on this. Let's go back to the whole reason why people came to this land. Not back in the 1770s, but even further back. When some little pilgrims came to this country for the reason to worship. To have a freedom to worship. The founding fathers of America were looking for a place to worship God in spirit and in truth, but also with the freedom to worship as they so choose. Matter of fact, we go forward into the 1770s or 1700s, and we see the fathers of our country based these our founding documents of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, upon the Word of God and upon the freedom to worship. We celebrate not only the Declaration of Independence, by which it was signed upon this day in 1776, but we also celebrate the freedom, the writing of the Constitution that enables us and protects us to have the freedom to worship God, then the freedom to assemble. We celebrate the Second Amendment, where we have the freedom to bear arms, and we celebrate the various freedoms that the Constitution gives us, and they are based upon the Bible. But all this is slowly eroding away. They want to take us, all these freedoms away. Especially when it comes to the freedom of worship. We've seen very plainly the hand of the enemy last year when they shut down the churches. And yes, we didn't know what was going on, and we thought, well, the best interest of everything, okay, we could shut down, we'll go online for a time, and then all of a sudden, then we start seeing that they would like to see, in some states, they wanted to shut things permanently. Then they said, oh, well, you can come back, but you can't sing. Oh, you can come, but only the minister can speak, and nobody else can speak. You can't, basically, they're saying, you can come to church, but you cannot worship. And that is when we began to realize what had happened. That it wasn't necessarily in the name of a virus called COVID, but it was the name of the virus called sin. And the enemy began to show his hand. And every day we are going into uncharted territories and we're seeing things we never thought we would see before. We're seeing now where transgender people can go and do whatever they want to do, and it's perfectly okay. We see where things, you know, where not only homosexuality is accepted across the board by most, not by this one, but by most, but also we're seeing now that pedophilia is now having a push where it's okay. Love is love. And if you haven't heard that one, you better wake up and see. They're pushing the acceptance of sex with children. And if we thought, oh, that will never happen, well, let's go back a few years. We said, oh, homosexuality wouldn't happen. Transgenderism wouldn't happen. That's just the exception to the norm. That's just some people acting crazy. But now look where we are today. And the reason we are where we are today, I believe, is because we aren't talking about it in the church. We didn't want to talk about sex in the church. We didn't want to talk about this stuff in the church because that was awful and bad. Well, listen, if we're going to call sin out, let's call it all out. If we're going to say that adultery is wrong and fornication is wrong and doing all these other things is wrong, let's call it out. Let's call it all out. Let's call what is sin, sin. Because if we don't, listen, if the church ain't going to talk about it, the world's going to talk about it, and that's why we're in the shape we're in. We're not talking about American values anymore. We're not talking about Christian values anymore, and the world has taken all this away to where we're now saying, what has happened to our America? What has happened to the lifestyle we have? Well, church, it's going to come down to we've got to fight for what we need and what we want. We've got to fight to restore America back to God again. We've got to fight to do these things. If we don't stand up and we don't declare the Word of God, not my opinion, but what the Word of God teaches, then the world is going to erode everything away. Paul was reminding the Galatians, and this is where this passage really ties in, I believe. He was reminding the Galatians about the bondage of the law. Think about this. Keep in mind that the law was brought, it's the law that brought grace. The old law was not needed any longer because of what Christ had come to do. He came not to destroy the law, but in his own words, he came to fulfill it. Where the sacrifices of lambs and goats and all that once were needed because of Christ, those things are no longer needed. Plus, the people were getting so wrapped up in the law that they kept forgetting the concept of worship. And we see that even today, where some people become so legalistic in their churches, they forget the concept of worship. We can get so caught up in how we dress and whether we got makeup on or not, whether we got rings on or not, or whether we're holiness or not, that we forget the whole concept of worshiping Jesus Christ. Think about it. We're wearing blue, most are wearing blue jeans. Remember a day when, ladies, that was taboo for you to do that. Come on now. We got caught up in legalism. Pastor's got facial hair, shame on him. He's got a ring on, shame on him. What a Jezebel. He got jeans on and tennis shoes. I think preachers need to wear more tennis shoes. That's just my personal opinion. We can run better. Some of those dress shoes are uncomfortable. Come on now. We don't need to get caught up in legalistic issues. We don't need to get caught up in splitting religious hairs. We don't need to get caught up. Listen, God's not wanting us to get religious. He wants us to get full of the Spirit. Now, let me first add this. Religion's not bad. I'm not saying religion's bad. I'll go there here in just a second. But if religion distorts and distracts us from our service, then it's worthless. Pilgrims came to this land to worship God. To have a freedom to worship as they seem fit. We also understand that programs are great, but programs cannot save somebody. Christ alone saves. Programs can help. Programs are great. Things that we do and different events that we do are great, and they build community and they draw people in. But it's not that event or that program that saves them. It's when they come and kneel before an altar of God and give their life to Christ, and Christ forgives them. He alone saves. We've got to allow Jesus to be Him, to be the supreme ruler, to be the Savior of the world. We need to let Him be the I am that I am, and not us get in the way. I remember a day, and there's still people around that do this, that they try to tell them how they got to look and how they got to act and how they got to dress to come to church, or how they got to look to get saved and how they got to look to get sanctified. No. God can care less on the outside. He's more concerned about the inside, because He's going to transform, listen to me, from the inside out. We got to be more focused on the inside, because listen, honey, you could paint an old barn, but it's still an old barn. It will fall apart someday. But if we get on the inside and we can reinforce it and rebuild it and do something on the inside, the outside will stay. But you see, if we don't have freedom to operate that way, then we can't move that way and we can't reach people like Christ wants us to reach them. Now let me get to this point about religion. I said religion's not a bad thing. Religion brings us to God. Religion brings us to God. Religion helps us understand what theology is. Theology is the study of God. That's what theology is about. But it's not just about religion, because religion brings us to God. Look at this. Relationship keeps us with God. Religion is that vehicle that brings us and draws us, because it's the whole understanding of who God is, what God is, and what He's about. But once we understand who, what, and where, and all that other things, then we understand He is the loving Savior that He claims to be, that He did die for my sins, and He does care about me, and He wants to have a relationship with me. So religion brings me to God, but relationship keeps me with God. But after I understand and have that relationship with Him, and I walk with Him, and I talk with Him, and He tells me I'm His own, and He reminds me that I am His beloved, He reminds me that He died for me, and He's still fighting for me, and He's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for me, then I understand how sweet that relationship is. But then it moves me into that next part, where I understand that as that relationship develops, then revelation comes. Revelation is going to give me insight to the heart and the mind of God. Revelation is going to help me understand what my purpose is in Him and in for His kingdom. Many times we want to know what the mind of God is. What's the mind of God? I wish God would just speak to me. He is. He wrote you a love letter. You just got to read it. Hello? We got a lot of people still stuck in religion that they have never moved into a relationship. They get frustrated with God. They get frustrated with church. They get frustrated with Christians. They get frustrated with everything that's going on, but they're still stuck in the religion. The religiosity of church will never get you to the place you need to be with God. You've got to move from religion to relationship. And if we don't have a relationship with God, shame on us. Because relationship, think about, what is a relationship? What is a relationship? People will say, well, it's give and take. It's giving and receiving. You know, whether a relationship with your spouse, relationship with your kids, relationship with a friend, whatever. It's that ongoing, underlying ongoing, exchange between two individuals. I don't see my kids every day, but I have a relationship with them. I don't talk to them every day, but I still have a relationship with them. We talk several times a week. But I have a relationship with them. I have a relationship with my parents. I don't talk to them every day, but I still have a relationship with them. Why? Because we nurture that relationship on an ongoing basis. And yeah, there's friends you don't talk to for several weeks, but you meet up with them or talk with them, and it's just like you just, you know, picked up where you left off. We all got friends like that. That's a relationship. And that's what God wants from us. And I hate to say this, a lot of people don't have that with God. Church, we need that. If we're going to make it in these last days, if we're going to not just get by, listen, I'm not looking. We already said that our America's deteriorating. Well, we should just give up hope and sit back and wait for the, watch the show of America destroying itself. No, I don't believe that's our job. I don't believe God has called us to sit. Oh, I know for a fact God did not call us to sit back and just watch America deteriorate. I don't believe God called us to say, yep, you got what you deserve. Now just, you know, take your medicine. No, that's not our job. Our job is to build the kingdom of God until he takes us out, until he takes us home. Our job is to go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel and to proclaim the word of God to everybody that we meet, to tell the world Jesus saved, that he heals, that he is in the healing business, and that he wants a relationship with them. It's our job to declare him day in and day out. It's our job to pray for our country. It's our job to pray for our leaders. It's our job to pray that God would help bring a revival to our land. I know some people's already give up. They're just going to go be an ostrich, stick their head in the sand, and just wait till it's all over. And I'm sorry. I believe if you're one of those, you're the one of the ones that's going to miss the rapture. Oh, Pastor, I can't believe you said that. Didn't he tell us to be ready? Didn't he tell us to occupy till he comes? Didn't we learn anything from the parable of the 10 virgins? 5 were ready and 5 were not. The difference between the two groups was one was ready. They had oil in their lamps and they were ready, and the others were not. We either got to be looking and ready for him to return, and those are the ones that are going when he calls. But we've got to have that relationship. We've got to have a relationship with God. I read he talks about he who the Son has set free is free indeed. We're free. I'm free to worship him. I'm free to lift my hands. I'm free to shout. I'm free to dance. I'm free. I'm free to go lay hands on somebody. We don't need to say, Pastor's okay if I go pray for somebody. We don't have to worry about that. This has given us the freedom to go pray for somebody. We don't need to get caught up splitting theological hairs, doctrinal hairs, and different other things. Because like Paul said, that's what keeps us in bondage. And if you're in bondage, you can't have a relationship. If you're in bondage by the law, if you're in bondage by legalism, if you're in bondage by all these other things that keep you balled up and thinking that's the only way God is going to operate, then that's what keeps you in bondage, and you cannot experience the freedom in Christ that he wants you to have. And while people waste their time fighting on this stuff and debating this stuff or whatever else they want to call it, while they're caught up in these doctrinal hairs and these petty little issues, on the other side, people are dying and going to hell, and they're doing nothing about it. We need to remind ourselves, what does God want from us? Number one, to seek and to save that which is lost. To tell them about Jesus and to give them the story, the greatest story that has ever been told, and that is Jesus loves them. This I know, for the word of God tells me so. That's what they need to hear. I believe it's time for us to wake up. And to use an old adage, wake up and smell the coffee and realize the times which we live in. We've been looking at Revelations on Wednesday night, and we can see more and more. We had a great discussion Wednesday, and we kind of, after we got done, it wasn't prepared, but we just kind of did a recap of things that we've been discussing, kind of also looking at current events in church. If you can't figure it out, Jesus is coming soon. Sooner than what most people believe and what most people think. Paul also adds that we have been called to liberty. Let me get back over here. I can read this better. In verse 13, he said, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." That's what liberty does. Liberty calls us to serve one another. Liberty calls us to help one another. In America, I remember that, you know, liberty, you know, that the freedom that we had years ago, we would help our neighbor. We would do things for one another. Now people just don't know what to do. They don't know their neighbors, or they're afraid they'll get shot by their neighbors. Maybe not here, but in other places I've lived, yeah. There were some neighbors I was a little scared of, I'll be honest with you. But I love this. Warren Wiersbe writes this in a poem he wrote called Freedom. Listen to these words. He writes, "Freedom does not mean I am able to do whatever I want to do. That is the worst kind of bondage." Think about it. Freedom means I have been set free to become all that God wants me to be, to achieve all that God wants me to achieve, to enjoy all that God wants me to enjoy. That's what freedom is. Listen, freedom, God tells us, "I want you to do X, Y, Z. No more, no less." God knows what we can do, what we can handle. He's not going to ask us to do anything we cannot do, we're not capable of doing. He's going to ask us, yeah, it's going to stretch us. Yes, it may make us feel uncomfortable at first, make us a little nervous maybe. But eventually he gets us into a mentality, into an understanding that we rely more upon him to help us through it than we do ourselves. Because we understand the scripture that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. Without him, I'm nothing. But in him, I'm everything. That when God asks me to go talk to somebody, he's not asking me to go do it by myself. He's asking me to go in his name, and he will help me and enable me and empower me to do what I need to do. All he's asking from me is to make the first step. I can't begin to tell you how many things I've done and stepped out of my comfort zone. But once I did I begin to see God was with me. He empowered me. He enabled me. You see, you all don't see what I was years ago, where I came from and what I did, how shy of I was. But God, through his help, is bringing me more and more into his likeness. Let me wrap this up. Verse 14, he said, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." We got to love one another. Yeah. Loving your neighbor as yourself. Think about this. And I'm just using this as an example, okay? Don't get upset. But just think about this. We go to the store. We're going to buy something for ourselves. What do we usually get? We're going to get what we want. I go get me some soda, some pop or whatever. I'm going to buy what I want. We'll use Sherry because she drinks more soda than I do. She's going to go buy Coke, or she's going to buy Code Red Mountain Dew. Now she's going to go buy Coke, but she ain't going to go buy that Sam's Cola for herself. Because she don't like it. But why is it when we go buy it for somebody else, we'll go buy the Sam's Club soda when we don't like it ourselves? Hello? Well, it's cheaper. Is that loving your neighbor like yourself? Think about it. Oh, Pastor, you could have went all day and not said that. I know. I know one thing I've learned is I'm not going to buy anything I don't want to drink. I'm using soda as our analogy this morning, but I mean, I'm not going to buy, you know, if I'm wanting Dr. Pepper, I'm going to buy Dr. Pepper. I ain't buying Dr. Thunder or whatever else is out there. Mr. Pibb, it don't taste the same. So why would I buy that for somebody else when I won't even drink it? Why would I do something for my neighbor differently than I would do for myself? Because the Bible says to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, if I'm going to buy myself something, let me throw something else to you in this, okay? Since I'm just middle in the pot, let me just meddle a little bit more. Because the Bible says, give and it shall be given, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall be added into your bosom. We know that part. But have we forgot the rest of it? For with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Sometimes we question God, God, why aren't you blessing me? Well, what measure are you using to give out? Because the Bible says what measure you use to give out, that's the same measure you use to get back. And so if I go buy the good stuff to give out, if I give cheap, what am I going to get? I'm just saying. Think about it. We'll do one thing for us, but we'll do one thing for another for somebody else. And they wonder why. Listen, this ain't me. This is God's economy. This is God's formula here. I'm just using the Bible. I'm just using His scripture with what measure we use. And we got to start thinking, what measure am I using to give out? Because that's the same measure. That's why I'm for this here that we see right here. This is us giving out. We're giving out. We went and got some good stuff. And the measure we're giving out, guess what? I'm expecting God to give back. I believe God is going to give us a, and then what, but we understand that He will give good. Then we go back to, let's go, with what measure I use, He will measure back to me, but also He adds to. Good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over shall be added unto our bosom. And so if we learn how to give to others and give to God, you know, the good stuff, God's going to give back. What does that have to do with freedom? It unleashes the blessings of God in a way that we can be free in Him. That we don't have to walk around in bondage when it comes to our finances. He goes on and says, yeah, go on, Pastor. Verse 16, then I say, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. By walking in the Spirit, we subdue the lust of the flesh. We enjoy our freedom in Him. But let's go back, let's look on a little further, because in the same passage, and I don't have this up here, but you can look in your Bibles, verse 19 of chapter 5 of Galatians, he says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry. We don't think, oh, we don't do idolatry, do we? I don't have time to talk on that one. But there's some times we do idolize things we shouldn't be. Sorcery. Hatred. Contentions. Jealousy. Outburst of wrath. Selfish ambitions. Are we being selfish on things? What others have. You see, all these things. Well, let me finish and I'll talk. Dissensions and heresies. You see, all these things that we look at, we call the works of the flesh, hinder us from walking in the freedom of God. If I've got hatred in my heart to somebody, then I can't walk in freedom. If I've got jealousy in my heart against somebody else, well, you know, Sister Bernice, Brother Jim, they got a brand new house. Why don't I get a new house? Well, if I'm going around jealous for them, you know, and jealous for them, and we kind of like, you know, what are they doing, you know? And they got all this money, blah, blah. Well, praise God, they got a new house. Quit worrying about what you don't got. Thank God for what you do got. Celebrate what God is doing in other people's lives. We need to celebrate one another. And I believe the more we celebrate, the more we begin to learn the freedom that God has given us, because we can celebrate what other people are, how God is blessing others, and we can do that, then we won't have jealousy, we won't have bitterness, we won't have the works in the flesh operating in our life, and then we have a freedom. Well, then I begin to have a freedom that I get it from religion to relationship, and God begins to bless me, and then I can get revelation, and guess what? God starts blessing me with a new house. God starts blessing me with a new vehicle or whatever else I need. The Bible said that He shall supply our every need. Church, God wants us to be free. God wants us to prosper. I'm not one big on all this prosperity preaching. I don't believe, you know, I go lay hands on a new Cadillac and God's going to give you that cat. No, I believe, listen, if God gives you a Chevrolet budget, go drive a Chevrolet or a Ford, whatever else you want to drive. But listen, don't be praying God for a Mercedes Benz when you can't afford it. Those things are hard, are expensive to work on. I had a friend that had one. Yeah, I'd like one, but I don't want that. $1,000 every time you pull it in. I want a freedom. I want a freedom in God. I want a freedom of worship. I want a freedom to where I'm not hung up on little things here and there, because there's a world dying and going to hell, and there's a community around us that needs Jesus. And I believe if I am praying right and hearing God right, I believe God's wanting to do something supernatural in this church and in this community. And I can't get hung up on this other stuff. If God, you know. If I'm so busy worrying about me, I'm not going to reach them. Hello? If I'm so hung up on me, God ain't going to bring revival. Well, I'll come to church when I can fit it into my schedule. We don't understand the kingdom mentality. As part of the kingdom of God, what He wants, we do. Jesus isn't our butler, nor is He our servant. He is the King of kings, and we serve at His pleasure. Otherwise, we don't have a relationship with Him. We're hung up on religion. I know, hurry up. I gotta hurry. Finally, that last point there, are we walking in the Spirit? Because if we're walking in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we're walking in the Spirit, how do I walk in the Spirit? That's what I want to ask you this morning. Are we walking in the Spirit? What does walking in the Spirit mean? I'm walking, worshiping Him daily, serving Him daily. Daily I die to the flesh. Daily I crucify the flesh. Daily I ask God to help me get through this day and get whatever challenges I may face. Daily I ask Him to help me and to tell me what He wants me to do. Think back for just a moment. Go ahead and come to the piano, Sister Mary. I want you to think back for just a second. Let's go back several years ago. A time we all remember, prior to 1776. Think back to all those men and women that had a desire for freedom and for liberty. At the cost of their life, their homes, and their families. They sacrificed everything. Some paid with their lives. Some lost everything. Some lost their families. Some of them had some things happen to them that we wouldn't even dream upon our worst enemy. But they did it because they believed in something bigger than themselves. And while we stand here today celebrating the freedom of America, it was paid by the blood and sacrifice of our forefathers way before. Think about that for a second. We would not have what we have today had it not been for all those patriots that gave. We could even say that same story, really that storyline kind of still plays along in the same lines when we look at our church history. We would not have what we have today had it not been for men and women that paid great cost and great sacrifice. So I ask you today, what is it that you're willing to sacrifice for the freedom of others? You see, that's what walking in the Spirit means. It's more about God and what He wants than what I want. There's a bigger cause. There's something bigger than us. Something bigger than us at stake here. There's a cause bigger than us right here. And if we're not willing to pay a price, shame on us. Just going to church, just paying your tithes, just giving to projects really isn't enough. God wants more. He wants all of us. All of us. Amen. The title of the message was In God We Trust. It's on our money. I trust more in God than I do that money. Every time I look at it, I thought, man, this dollar ain't worth what it used to be. But while I can't trust in the dollar, what the value is going to be tomorrow, I can trust in God. He will see me through this. And what we're serving now is something bigger than us. Church, get that. I hope you get that. Something bigger than us. Because God has a higher purpose. Father, I pray right now in the name that is above every name. Lord, you help us to see the cause. For Lord, we are waging a, there is a battle. There is a war that we are engaged in. It's not a battle or a war against people. It's not a battle of flesh and blood, because you tell us we do not fight against flesh and blood. But Lord, the fight that we fight and the battle that we wage is against principalities, against spiritual wickedness. It's a battle of good versus evil, God versus Satan. And Lord, we're seeing America decay. We're seeing our world decay right before our eyes. And while we blame individuals, God, it goes beyond them. It goes to the heart of this is the evilness that comes from the enemy. And Lord, if we do nothing, then the enemy will win. if we do nothing, if we are just passive, then we will lose our families. We will lose our friends in this fight. There will be people that we love go to hell and not know the joy of the Lord. But Lord, we got to fight. Like never before, we've got to fight. We got to fight with all that was in us. We got to walk in the Spirit like never before. Because the enemy is fighting, knowing his time is short. But God, you called us to trust in you. To lean not unto our own understanding, but you say in all our ways acknowledge you. And you will direct our paths. So Lord, I ask you today that we trust you. Not walk in the lust of the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. Not get hung up, not get entrapped by the enemy's devices, but walk in the Spirit. Because the enemy's out there to trick us, to ensnare us, to bring us into the bondage of the law again. But you've come to fulfill us, that we can enjoy the Spirit, this freedom, and the joy of the Lord. Oh, sweet Spirit of God, just speak to every person here this morning. You're calling us to freedom. You're calling us to liberty today. Church, I'm going to ask you right now if you would stand this morning. If you're here this morning and say, Pastor, I need prayer to help overcome this bondage. I want to walk in the Spirit of freedom this morning. I want you to come right now and stand this morning. I'm not going to take a lot of time. I know there's things people need to go to or have planned, but I want to make sure we don't leave like we come this morning, and God has his way. If you're here this morning and you need prayer, come and stand this morning. I know we prayed over some again, but we can pray again. I want God to break the bondages off people's lives this morning. Oh, have your way, Holy Spirit. Anyone at all? Hallelujah.